for the Sunday morning worship service.
Church. Welcome. Welcome if you were here yesterday or if it's been a while. Welcome if this is your first time or if you grew up here. Welcome to the itty bitties and the all the way grown up people. Whomever you love, however you identify, whatever your background, whatever your abilities, you're welcome here. A few announcements before we get started. Our radio sponsor today is Rose Kleinert, in memory of Lyle and David Kleinert's birthdays. Rose is also our liturgist today. On Christmas Eve at 5:30 p.m., we have a candlelight service. Please join us. It will be lovely. Also, Sunday, September 29th, 1 p.m., we will have the musical play Old Befana here. That should be very fun. So come join us. And big thanks to everyone who helped out with Help Excite Little People. Gave out so many toys and Christmas presents and so much stuff. Made Christmas for a lot of kiddos. Now let's turn our hearts and our minds to worship as we listen to the prelude. Oh, no, wait. Let's take a few moments of silence before we do that. This is a hectic season. Let all the worries fade away. Let the tension flow out of your body, your shoulders relax. Take a deep breath. Inhale love. Breathe out peace. Inhale love. Breathe out.
In a weary and worn world, how do we begin again?
Where do we start?
Let us begin with tenderness.
Let us begin with our hearts on our sleeve. Let us begin from a place of vulnerability and hope.
Let us begin with love.
Yes, let us start with love. Today we light the candles of hope, peace, joy, and love.
May the warmth of these lights be our cornerstone. May the truth in these lights help us begin again.
May it be so. Amen.
And our first hymn is in the New Century Hymnal, the black one. It's number 110. Now bless the God of Israel. And please rise if you are willing and able, or rise in spirit. Join me in, please, in a prayer of unburdening. This is two sides. So you will be the right, and you will be the left. Gracious God, you paint pictures of what could be, but we declare those visions impossible. You speak of the lion lying down with the lamb.
With gratitude we pray. Amen.
Now hear God's promise to us. Friends, no matter what you hold on to, no matter what you let slip through your hands, God is holding you. That good news will never change. So hear and believe the good news of the gospel. Today is a new day. Today we have reason to hope. Today we are forgiven. And the same will be true tomorrow. Thanks be to God for a love like that. Amen. As a child raised by a carpenter, Jesus may have made tables, may have built them out of wood. But in his ministry, he did not own a table. He traveled, he ate with others, he sat at the tables of Pharisees, tax collectors, women, friends, and some who did not like him so much. But he didn't own a table. This table, however, belongs to Jesus. And so at this table, all are welcome. On his last night, the night he was betrayed, given over to death, Jesus sat with friends and shared a meal. That was what he chose to do in his last night on earth. Sit with his friends, wash their feet, tell them to serve others. Tell them to love. At that meal, he took bread and he broke the bread. And he said to his friends, at future tables, when you gather, when you eat together, remember this. Remember this night. Remember my love for you. Remember my death. Remember that I went willingly for love of the world. When you sit at future tables, eat and remember me. Remember who you are. And he poured a cup of wine. He blessed the wine and he gave it to his friends. And he said, remember this time together. Remember these years of ministry, this short time. Remember what I taught. Remember who I welcomed. Remember that you are beloved, and so is everyone else. Drink and remember me. Holy Spirit, pour out your gifts on this bread, this wine. Make them for us. Bread of life, a cup of love. Maybe they feed us, our bodies, our hearts, our spirits. Amen.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Holy God, we give thanks for this meal at this table. We give thanks for the reminder that we are what we eat. We are love. We are love. We are beloved. Help us become this food of love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, do any of our kiddos want to come up? It's okay if they don't. Yeah? Or it's okay if Dad wants to come too. There's room up here. Hello. Hi. It's okay. Today we are going to talk about Joseph, who is actually Jesus's dad. I know your dad brings you to church on Sundays, and your dad likes hugs. Jesus had a good dad, too. He had two good dads. Yeah, God was his father, his parent, and also Joseph. Joseph loved him very much and raised him to be a good person. We don't know a lot about Jesus when he was a little kid. He might have chewed on his hair. It's possible. Could have happened. Okay. Are you ready for Christmas? Yeah. All right. Let's pray. Holy God, bless these children. Bless all the kids in our church, in our lives, in our hearts. May they grow in wisdom and in faith. May they grow in love of you, of love of their neighbor, and in love for themselves. In your name we pray. Amen. Is there Sunday school today? No. Okay. So you're going to go sit back with your dad. Thanks for coming up.
The Bible verse is Micah chapter 5, verses 2 through 5. But you, O Bethlehem of Ephrathah, who are the one of the little clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to rule in Israel, whose origin is from old, from ancient days. Therefore, he shall give them up until the time when she who is in labor has brought forth. Then the rest of his kindred shall return to the people of Israel. And he shall stand and feed his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they shall live secure for now. He shall be great to the ends of the earth, and he shall be the one of peace. This ends our reading.
Thank you. Our gospel reading today is from Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 25. Now the birth of Jesus the Messiah took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, But before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband, Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son, and he named him Jesus. Listen to what the Spirit is saying to the church. This is a remarkable story here. One of only two of the nativity infancy accounts of Jesus. There's one in Matthew, and one in Luke. And they're fairly different. This one has dreams and drama and birth and death, story of multiple fathers. As I said, Jesus himself had two dads. There's another dad in the story as well. That's Herod. Joseph is a dreamer, while Herod grasps. Begins, this is how the birth of Jesus came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. There are a number of words for this, or translations of this word in scripture. They were engaged, betrothed. Some say they were married. It's complicated. Joseph and Mary found themselves in a devastating predicament. In first century Jewish life, this did not go over well. Their marriage is not yet is official, but not entirely. In one way, Joseph knows, he cannot be the father. Even now, that would probably mean a complicated breakup. At the time, it was a crime. Someone had stolen from Joseph. Jewish marriage consisted of three stages. The first stage is the engagement. That was usually arranged by the parents. The second stage was betrothal. This time, the young couple agrees to the marriage, sign legal documents. It is considered a legal marriage. They were considered husband and wife. But they didn't live together quite yet. To end the betrothal was a similar process to getting a divorce. It had to be formal. It was as binding as marriage itself was. And this is the state that Joseph and Mary was in. Joseph and Mary were in. It was a time of building relationships, of getting to know one another. The groom was preparing a place for them to live. It's a time of planning, dreaming, be happy expectations. Lasted about a year generally. And notice that Matthew says, before they came together, there were no sexual relations during this time of betrothal. But then verse 18 says, she was found to be with child. It's a scandal. It would still be a scandal. The wife is pregnant and the husband couldn't possibly be the father. There are all kinds of soap operas and talk shows and about this. The Bible doesn't tell us when Joseph was told, how he was told. Maybe Mary said something like, Joseph, I have the most incredible news. I'm going to have a baby, and it's not just any baby. It's the Messiah. An angel told me so. Or maybe he heard it from his aunt, whose cousin lived next door to Mary's mother's best friend. And that's how word came to Joseph. He must have felt betrayed, crushed. Verse 19 says, because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. He had a couple options. The law, Deuteronomy, said that he could take her to the city gate and the people would stone her to death. But he decides on divorce, and even to have a very quiet divorce, so as to bring as little shame on her as possible. So before any divine explanation, he's already chosen mercy. He's already chosen kindness. He could have raged and asked a lot of questions here. How could you do this to me? Who was it? But we don't hear his words. We only hear he decides to divorce her quietly. He's an interesting character. Matthew's account of the birth of Jesus is short. It's only a page, page and a half. Luke spends a whole chapter on this. There's Mary, Elizabeth, Zechariah, fetal John the Baptist jumping in Elizabeth's womb. There are shepherds, there's empire. Matthew has much less happening. Before the birth, there is Joseph. And Joseph doesn't have a speaking part. That's not how we have him in the Christmas pageant generally, but he doesn't have a speaking part. Angels bring heavenly greetings, but Joseph is silent. He has been pondering what to do, and he goes to sleep, and he dreams of an angel telling him to take Mary as his wife. An angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife." This is not a small request. The angel is telling Joseph to put aside everything he knows and everything he believes. So culture and custom and law and fidelity and love and family, even gender roles and power. And the angel says, do not be afraid. We see a fair amount in scripture, do not be afraid, and it means a really scary thing is happening. Do not be afraid. Everything's about to change. Jesus says this in the garden after the resurrection, says it first meeting the disciples. Do not be afraid. And says this over and over because fear doesn't leave any room for love. In taking Mary and raising this child as his own, the angel asks Joseph to let go of the life he thought he would have. And Joseph wakes up in the morning and he does. Now Herod the Great is a father also. He's a Roman client king, and he is terrified of losing power and wealth and control. He's so afraid that he killed several of his own sons to keep them from possibly plotting against him. One historian said at the time, it was better to be Herod's pig than his son. So Herod meets the Magi. And he hears they're seeking this newly born king, and he thinks, well, okay. He asks them to find the baby and bring back news. Tell him where the baby is, and he'll go worship this baby too. He grasps. He tries to hold on tight to power. When the Magi do not return, according to Matthew, Herod kills all the little baby boys in Bethlehem. We don't have a historical record of this. The Gospel of Luke doesn't mention it. Many scholars think, maybe it didn't actually happen. And others say Bethlehem wasn't a place that mattered to anybody at all. So a few babies get killed there, nobody's going to write that down. But they all agree, Herod would totally do this. This is a thing he would do. Fear leaves no room for love. Matthew was written for Jewish audiences, audiences who were tired of their client kings and Roman soldiers, the horrors of life in first century Palestine. They were eager to dream. They would have heard the name Joseph, and they would have known that name matters. Joseph was a dreamer. Joseph of the amazing technicolor dream coat, the hero of old who helped save the Jewish people, engineered their escape from famine into Egypt. Founder of the Jewish people, he understood oppression. His older siblings sold him into slavery. And he had prophetic dreams. He interpreted prophetic dreams. A first century Jewish audience would have known, oh, Joseph, he's a dreamer. He's also a protector. He's also someone who takes care of his family. They would have heard Joseph and Mary take this child to Egypt and thought, of course. They go to Egypt for safety because that's what Joseph does. Dreams come and they bring something new, something unfamiliar, something strange, and they invite us to go where we haven't gone before, to do what we haven't done before. As I said, Herod grasps, he clutches and he holds tight, and you can only hold tight to what is familiar and what is known. Things, possessions, a life we wanted, a goal. Joseph dreams of a life that hasn't yet happened, isn't yet revealed. Herod holds on to the life he knows. Joseph dreams about what could be, and Herod tries to hold on to what was. Joseph is willing to be father to a child that is not his. Herod grasped power so much that he would kill his own sons. Joseph is willing to get up and leave behind his life. Herod is afraid, clutching, grasping, holding on. Joseph wants to protect and preserve the child's life, and Herod wants only to protect himself. I know Joseph, and I know Herod, and I bet you do too. I even have a bit of each of these in myself. I know there have been times I've been a dreamer, and there have been times that I have held on too tight. I bet you have too. When I dream, my eyes and my ears and my heart and spirit are open. All paths are ahead, and life is a holy adventure. Each day offers possibilities of what is impossible. But when I try to hold tight, my heart is closed, my eyes, my ears are closed, my spirit is resistant. There's not much room for spontaneity or surprise or possibility. I'm leaning into what was, not what could be. There are dark days all around us, dear ones, all around the world. Everywhere we look, there is oppression and injustice and hatred and war and violence, and we don't have to travel very far to find it. But these visions, these dreams of a baby, of God doing a whole new thing, of putting ourselves in a little bit of risk to do what is right, to be open to the possibility of love, the possibility of love that we call God. May we choose dreaming instead of grasping. When we look at what is hard in the world, may we look with eyes that dream and a heart that loves. May we look with care and not with fear. Amen. And our hymn is Gentle Joseph, Joseph Dear. It's number 105 in the New Century Hymnal. That's the black one. And you can stand.
Joseph, Joseph, dear,
stay with me, the baby's near.
God will surely your goodness hear, and you will love this newborn child, says Mary. Gladly, Mary,
to share prayers of joy or concern or Christmas prayers today.
I think it's on now. Is it on?
Johnny? Yep.
First, I'd like us to keep in our prayers the families and the victims from the school shooting this week in Madison, and to keep all people that are going through a loss of a loved one this time of year, and that they are carried through it. And also on a happy note, I'd really want to send out special thanks to Margaret McFarlane and everyone that helped during the Help Excite Little People process from beginning to end. It was filled with a lot of people and a lot of toys. So I thank everybody, and you see their smiling faces as they helped. It was a blessing. Finally, there's so many birthdays in December, like I can't name them all. In the past week, there were four. Jennifer started it, and then Margaret, and then Steve, and today me. So I got us a great big cake, so help us celebrate with coffee and hot cocoa after the service.
So happy to see Gary Schlender here today, and he looks great.
And I'd just like to mention that, you know, it's so close to home with stuff that you can't control, and then with some of the Christmas markets in Germany. I think there was another one, too. And even there was one in the mall. So keep all these people in our prayers that are, like Rose said, have lost loved ones so close to Christmas.
Any more prayers to share? Let's take a few moments of silence and prayers that we hold in our hearts. Holy God, we pray for all those for whom this time of year is hard, those who have lost a dear one, especially the McFarlanes, all those who are facing the first Christmas without someone they love, those who have nowhere to go, who are not going to have a big meal on Christmas Day. Holy God, we pray for all victims of the school shooting in Madison. Those who were killed, families, those who were traumatized. All those who have experienced shootings before and are being re-traumatized. And we pray, Holy God, for the will to do something to make change. And we give thanks because there is so much good and so much beauty in the world. We give thanks for having Gary and Sandy back after Gary has been sick for a while. We give thanks for Margaret, for Help Excite Little People, for everyone who participated, for all the families who got gifts. And we give thanks for birthdays, for this community. And all these prayers, Holy God, and the ones that we hold in our hearts, we ask you to hear us today. Let us pray as Jesus taught us. The one we have here is from Holy Wisdom Monastery in Madison. You may use whatever words are comfortable. Holy One, our only home, blessed be your name. May your day dawn, your will be done, here as in heaven. Be us today and forgive us as we forgive each other. For the glory, the power, and the mercy are yours, now and forever. Amen. And God asks us to give from our many blessings, our time, our treasure, our talent, to build a community of love, of welcome. Let us pray. Source of love and light, take our offerings and use us to help make a more beautiful world, a world of hope, peace, joy, and love. And as you do, show us how to dream a better dream. When the night feels long, point us to the candles. When the world feels empty, fill us with bread from the table. When we feel alone, surround us with community. In the ups and downs of this tender-hearted world, show us how to hope. Show us how to live like Mary and Joseph, for they were courageous enough to believe the angel's words. They were courageous enough to believe that change could come. Give us the courage, the vulnerability, and the wisdom to risk the same. And our closing hymn is Come, O Come, Emmanuel. The first two verses, it's number 116 in the hymnal, although it's also up here.
Thank you.
have some cake on the way out, and also there's a basket of ornaments on the table by the cake, so please take one of those. And let us pray. Holy Creator, Joseph was a dreamer. He dreamed of possibility. He dreamed that something so extraordinary might be real, might be true. Because he loved, he took the risk. Because he took a risk, love was born in the world. May we be like Joseph. May we dream extraordinary things of a more beautiful, more just world. May we take risks because of our dreams. May we be loving because of our dreams. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You've been listening to the Sunday morning worship service from the First United Church of Christ in Sauk City. WRPQ Baraboo. W279 EG Reedsburg. We take you to St. John's Lutheran Church in Baraboo for the Sunday morning worship service. For worship times, visit stjohnsbaraboo.org.